You know, despite all their talk of love and harmony, peace, etc., not all rockers are ready to hold hands and sing Kumbaya with each other. There are many who have found themselves in downright, like, knocked down, drag out fights. Some are like have gone on for decades and are still going on. So on this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, we're going to tell you all about the nastiest, and I mean nastiest, feuds in rock of all time. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Moms and dads, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the circus. My name is Ludini, your ring master, your ring leader here for the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, where we bring an interesting aspect of music, music business, the music scene, different genres. We talk about a discussion, or we talk about a topic each week. We have a lot of fun with it. And that is what we do here. So if you like that sort of thing, you've come to the right place. And if you are watching on YouTube, subscribe, please. You know, you could hit that like button if you want. Like, hit them a whole bunch of times. Just pound that damn thing. Anyways, that's enough of that, Lily. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is sponsored by WolfsCustoms.online. What does WolfsCustoms.online do? Well, this gets you in touch with Wolf's with Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at Wolf's Customs, where they do custom painting on your musical instruments. They do a great job. It's really standout stuff so that you don't get up there with the same boring looking guitar that the last five bands have. Okay, so check them out. Go to WolfsCustoms.online. Tell them Ludini sent you. RockRageRadio.com is the website for the app that we're very proud to be a part of. RockRageRadio.com. Download the app. It's a internet radio station that plays great guitar-driven rock 24/7. Check it out. LouLombardiMusic.com to get some get on our list, get some great music that you're not going to hear anywhere else, and all kind of exclusive extras and things like that. Also, our website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, and you can see past episodes and all kind of fun stuff there too. And I think that is it for the websites. And I'm like done now. Like, I don't want to talk no more.
Right? You gave up.
Everybody's like, you talk so fast. But I want to get to the topic, and I feel like I have this long list of crap I got to talk about. So I've got to find a way around that. Maybe we'll work it in throughout the podcast instead of like.
Yeah, you'll forget.
I know, because I get all excited. So cool. So we have a Lily and Pittsburgh Kevin. Lily, what's up?
What's up?
Do anything fun this week? Yes, you did something really fun we were talking about before.
I did. I spoke at the Living Dead convention at the Monroeville Mall for the Steel Man movie.
But the really fun thing you did.
What really fun thing? Oh, I went to see Jaws on Friday at the Oaks Theater. First time I got to see it on the big screen because, you know, wasn't born yet. But it was really cool. Of course, I jumped on one of the scenes like a little girl. But that's okay. It was a good time.
Yes. If you go to see Jaws and you don't jump at least one time, you're probably not paying attention. And we, of course, we have the very auspicious and sometimes suspicious.
Hey, watch your language,
Pittsburgh Kevin. What's up, Pittsburgh?
Hey, everybody.
What did you do? Did you do anything good this week?
I ate way too much.
I gotcha.
I was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and for me to be uncomfortable after eating, that's eating a lot.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. Yeah. I had a great weekend too. I hiked in McConnell's Mills, and it was just a stunningly beautiful day, and we did ate, and drank, and had a good time. Okay, so enough of that shenanigans. So let's talk about these feuds.
Feuds,
and there are many and varied out there. In it isn't just one type of rocker either. It's, you know, the guys you think would be like nice. No,
not so much.
No. So go ahead, Lily. Why don't you jump in and give us the first one.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just start it off with the really, really desolate, dark one so we can get it out of the way. But Varg Vikernes and Euronymous from the band Mayhem. They are Norwegian black, for anyone who doesn't know, Norwegian black metal band formed in Oslo in 84. They were one of the founders of the Norwegian black metal scene, and their music has strongly influenced the black metal genre.
Holding on to black metal.
Very, very controversial group of musicians. They're known for their live performances. This isn't the most famous of all the feuds, but it is one of the most violent. Just to preface, it is this is a band that made a habit out of burning down Norwegian churches in the early 90s.
Yes, those guys.
Yes. Right. 2 years after the suicide of Olin, who went by the name Dead.
He's dead now, isn't he?
Right. He sure is. Two of the band members became involved in a deadly dispute. Euronymous wanted to make a necklace out of Dead's skull and wanted to blow up Nidaros Cathedral. Vikernes decided that these were both bad ideas and also thought that Euronymous was plotting to murder him. So he beat his bandmate to the punch and stabbed the frontman 23 times.
Wow.
Of course, Euronymous died and Vikernes went on to prison, but he has since been released and has another band. So that was a deadly dispute, feud. So maybe we shouldn't get into, you know, black metal and burning churches. Maybe
those guys aren't messing around.
What can you say about black metal?
I like a lot of it. Just it's kind of scary for these guys to just, you get so paranoid you think your bandmate's going to kill you.
Yeah.
So you just do it instead. Oh, that sounds like a marriage kind of situation.
Yikes. You know, I was reading about this weird thing now that happened with the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so strange because it's Mike Love. Now, on CNN, Al Jardine and one of the Wilsons, I can't remember which one it was, were like, yeah, Mike Love fired us. And how can Mike Love fire you? Like, it's not really his band. I mean, he's your cousin,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, he's not a Wilson.
It was Brian.
And it's just this very bizarre story. There's been legal issues and issues surrounding songwriting credits and stuff like that. But it came to a public head in 2012 when Love unexpectedly fired Wilson and fellow original members Al Jardine and Dave Marks after a surprising reunion. The group had been touring for the band's 50th anniversary, but Love decided it was best not to get overexposed. I'm disappointed and can't understand why Love doesn't want to tour with Al, David, and me, Wilson told CNN. When asked about the firing, we are out there having so much fun. After all, we are the real Beach Boys. Love continues to tour under the Beach Boys name with a substitute band.
And that just seems wrong.
That just mm-hmm. that's okay.
That's no
problem. Now, Mike Love talked to Rolling Stone and he had a little bit of a different opinion. He says, I cannot fire Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. I'm not his employer. I do not have such authority. And if I did, I would never fire Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. I love Brian Wilson. We are partners. He's my cousin by birth and my brother in music. Love reiterates that the Beach Boys' 50th anniversary tour, which also included surviving members Al Jardine and David Marks, has always envisioned as a limited run and that none of the band wanted to do a 50th anniversary tour that lasted 10 years. It was meant to be special. In fact, early on, Brian was just going to join the tour for a few dates in big cities. We finally decided on 50 dates in 50 major markets. So there appears to be like
a dispute on
yeah,
that.
Like it appears to be very dispute. Bizarre. If somebody can figure this out for me, I would love to have it explained exactly what is going on. But apparently there are two Beach Boys. Just like, and we're going to be talking, I'm sure somebody's going to bring this band up. Somebody's going to bring up Pink Floyd at some point. But just like there were two Pink Floyds that toured, you know.
Like there are two Great Whites.
It's just, you know, what is happening here? It's rock and roll and it's a lot of fun. And I think what happens is these guys just, when you get that thing, man, when you play, even those of you guys that have even played, like just locally, you know, when you get that thing and people get into what you're doing, like you just want to keep doing it. You know, and it doesn't matter, you know, it just
doesn't matter.
I think that somebody asked, and maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe somebody asked Steven Tyler, like, when are you going to stop playing music? And he says, and his answer was, well, when are you going to stop jerking off?
That sounds like something he would say.
You know, it's like when it doesn't feel good anymore. You know, it's like that is, it just feels so good. And I, so these guys, they come together, they fall apart, you know, time passes and everything. But with these, this Beach Boys thing, I'm a little confused as to who fired who, what went where. But apparently, in any case, maybe touring again here next year, maybe. You might see two different versions of the Beach Boys out there. Who knows what's going on? So, anyways, the Beach Boys.
Interesting.
Pittsburgh Kevin.
Well, I laughed when I read this one because I don't think I was aware of it. But in 1989, during the MTV Awards, Guns N' Roses won an award, and Vince Neil presented them with it. However, after GNR performed, Vince went over and punched Izzy Stradlin because apparently Izzy had assaulted Neil's wife. So, yes. Now, you're going to find this hard to believe there, Lou, but Axel Rose. He didn't fancy this too much.
No surprise.
Yeah, right? So he starts an all-off like media war against Vince. To the point where he actually challenged Vince to a fight.
I remember this
in
now.
Atlantic City.
I remember this now. Okay.
You remember that?
Yep.
Which I vaguely
and
remember.
And Bob Guccione Jr. said he was going to put up the money for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like it was a big thing, man. And I was like, oh, that's going to happen. That would be so cool. Now, had the internet been around.
Oh,
you know, people are so like, can't wait to get in. I would bet it would actually happen nowadays. You know.
Hold on, Lou. I was thinking about this today.
Okay.
This is 1989, you know, both of those guys are kind of skinny and svelte. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're not that way anymore. So, boy, wouldn't it be fun to watch that now?
It would be, they should make them sumo wrestle.
I was just thinking.
I mean, honestly, though, I kind of feel like Axel would probably take out Vince Neil.
Oh, of course. No, oh, Axel is an actual badass.
Easy, yeah. He's a little off his rocker.
He's nuts. He doesn't care.
Yeah, and he is crazy. He's out of his mind.
Head. Yeah.
That man is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That man is crazy. He's on, one of the topics we have is Axl Rose versus Guns N' Roses. That's his band.
Right, but, right.
But, you know, it's like him
versus. He's right with them.
He's trashed every single one of them and said he hates all their guts. But anyways, that's a good one, man.
I was reading that and I'm like,
That one's great.
Funny, man.
Yeah, I did.
I can visualize it. You know, popping one.
Nah, they'd be like pulling hair and stuff, you know.
Back in the day, yeah. Now it's like rubbing.
Today
their,
they'd be
like
jumping on each other and like, you know, it'd be like studio wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
Now Bruno Sammartino should like, you know, host it or something.
They couldn't even get up on top of the ropes though to jump. So
they'd be chest bumping a lot.
A lot of breath, you know. All right, they're back to the corners to take a break after 30 seconds. These two men are not in tip-top shape, I tell you.
Right. Oh, Lord.
Now back to you, Kevin.
Well, you know, I remember back in the day.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, so done with all that stuff. That's a good one. Lily V6, next.
We're going to go with Noel Gallagher versus Liam Gallagher.
Freaking
well, Irish.
If you'd name your kids Liam
and Noel,
they're going to be punching each other in the face.
I mean, it's just in their blood anyway,
anger.
To be honest. But the two brothers have admitted they've had been at odds since they had to share a bedroom as kids. Mm-hmm. Over 20 years of fighting had finally taken a toll on the brothers on the night of August 28th, 2009. They are just notoriously constantly fighting at shows, backstage, what have you. A few minutes before the band was to take the stage at Rock and Sign Festival in Paris, the two siblings engaged in a violent backstage fight that resulted in Liam smashing his brother's guitar. And this was the second reported violent incident that year with the brothers. Liam had hit Noel in the head with a tambourine earlier in the year. Seems like it's the little brother causing the problems, which is usually the problem. Noel drove off and the show was canceled. The manager stated that Oasis did not exist anymore. 2 hours later, a message from Noel appeared on their website stating that he could not work with Liam anymore and they have not seen each other since. And again, I reiterate, it's the younger sibling that's causing the problems.
There are versions where it's just Noel and he's a good singer. Mm-hmm. And he plays the whole show and does all the singing. You could find them on YouTube. Yeah, but man, they did make some good records. I mean, they made some really, really good records. Like a great band.
That's one of those like 90s bands that I actually don't mind. Like I like when bands actually cover Oasis. I don't hate it. So it's always a good one to listen to.
Where were you when we were getting high?
Right?
I was over here.
I was over here laughing at you.
I was in the middle.
You just didn't pass it to me. Puff pass.
They were just notorious for fighting constantly, as brothers do. But these ones were just worse.
So this is a band that is, I don't know, maybe one of you guys have this band on your list for something, but here's one. Two brothers that do not fight, Eddie and Alex Van Halen.
And then there's that.
You know what I mean?
They just fight everybody else.
Right.
They just fight everybody else. They throw their anger outward. Mm-hmm. I wanted to put you guys hip to a very awesome, and it's pretty old now, it's probably at least 10 years old, Oasis version of Come On, Feel the Noise. It's very, very cool.
Hmm. I have to hear that.
Very, very close. Yeah, it's live, and it's Noel singing it.
Yeah,
and his like tone is, you got to see it, dude. I think he's playing like a 335, dude. It's so like, it's like guitar nerd. You'll like lose your mind. It's like vintage this and vintage that. Yeah,
all right, yeah. Cool.
Sorry, it's for you guitar nerds out there. I guitar geeked for a second. Oh no, you didn't.
Oh yeah, you did.
It'll blow your mind right through your face.
Whoa. Oh wow. Okay, so this is another one that I had read this and had to get some more information on what in the hell happened between Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. And when you just read the sort of like initial blurb about it, you know, you see these things on the internet. Let me pull one. And it doesn't really tell you why. Mm-hmm. This kind of perplexed me. Two folk musicians recorded their last album, 1970s, highly successful Bridge Over Troubled Water at the time. When their personal relationship was rapidly deteriorating, the two couldn't decide on the 12th and final song of the album and refused to record each other's choices. So the album was released with only 11 tracks. Now you talk about like two kids. You know what I mean? I'm taking my toys and going home. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of these feuds, though, it seems like.
And then in the 80s, a reunion album was planned, but Simon unexpectedly removed Garfunkel's vocals and released the disc solo.
That does sound Simon like some kid.
A couple years later, when the duo was inducted into the... You got to listen to this.
Okay.
This is freaking jacked up. A couple years later, when the duo was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Art made the mature decision to put the past behind him and publicly praise Paul for his songwriting ability. Mm. Paul responded by saying, "Arthur and I agree about almost nothing, but it's true. I have enriched his life quite a bit."
That's humble.
That's good stuff.
It's very humble.
And these guys had issues from the very, 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 very beginning. They actually met in 1953.
Wow.
So that they were school kids, and they did some different kind of stuff. They recorded a song called "Hey Schoolgirl," and got on the Billboard charts and stuff like that, but they broke up because their manager approached Paul about doing two singles as a solo star, and he agreed, but didn't tell Art, and then Art got pissed off, and so this is where the problems begin. Okay, and then they go, then nothing happens, and then they get back together in the 60s. And start doing the music that most of us know that they did. But so they try to give it another go. Been working on music separately. And the Garfunkel liked the song "Sound of Silence." Columbia Records signed the duo. They released Wednesday morning, 3 a.m. in 64. The album was most ignored by critics. The pair's next two albums, Sound of Silence, Parsley Sage, Rosemary and Thyme, were big hits when they recorded the soundtrack for The Graduate in 1967. Great year, the year I was born. And Mrs. Robinson topped the charts. So, you know, things are going good. Things are going good. Things are going good. Paul Simon has had issues with depression. And he said that he was asked, like, why? Because people were like, you have, like, the greatest life ever. You're rich, whatever. Because they were millionaires by this point. And he said, he said that the bad stuff that in his life was that he was short, not having the voice that he wanted, not looking the way that he wanted to look, and having a bad relationship. that was kind of what he was focusing on. And art knew his insecurities and used them to mess with him on different occasions. I remember doing a photo session. Artie said, no matter what happens, I'll always be taller than you.
Nice.
Stuff like that. That's nice. And So
Art's a bully.
Yeah. Punk. So, well, you know.
He's a punk.
And then what happened after The Graduate came out, they were in a movie together, and Paul Simon's character was written out and did not appear on the screen, but Art's was on. And then Mike Nichols asked him to be in another movie. So, and then he said, well, I'm sorry, Paul, I can't come record with you because I'm going to go be in this movie. And Paul was like, you know, if this movie's big, you know, you're just going to leave the band. That kind of thing, you know. So, that was really kind of like it. So it was like kind of several different things kind of building up. But some of it was just pure personal, you know, and just insecurities. Hmm. And but on Art's side of it, he knew that he was screwed because Paul Simon wrote all the songs.
Right.
That's really what Paul – and I remember hearing Paul Simon talk about this on the Howard Stern show, that like having to get out there because he was terribly insecure about his singing, having to get out there and try to, you know, do these gigs without Art, it was just like really, was really, really hard on him. Really, it was just not something he was used to, didn't think he could do it. But he sounds great, doesn't he? I mean, you never listen to Paul Simon's song. He should bring terrible. Art Garfunkel back, you know. You never say that, you know. But insecurities and, you know, et cetera, these things just kind of tore the whole thing apart. And eventually they did put their differences behind them and were going to do a kind of a big tour, but Art has having voice problems.
Ironically.
Yeah. They reconciled, but then Art just, you know, and of course Paul said, I feel sort of betrayed because he didn't let me know how bad his voice was. So they're back to their old tricks again.
Mm-hmm. Kids. Children.
You know, to which Art replied, I'm still taller than you. So you know, some things they just don't change. They just don't change.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly, right.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I feel like I've been talking for 2 hours. Lily V6.
It's only been three.
I think it's his time.
Oh, you have another one?
I do have another one.
Well, you have. Oh, you have sheets. Okay, I see that.
He wrote all his out. Like he's in school.
I am in school. So this one. Hey,
Kevin, read your report for us, please. Thank you.
What I did on my summer vacation. So I don't know if you knew this, Lou. I know you're kind of a rock and roll guy.
Lily's, I know a couple of things.
I don't know if you know this. That guy.
I know what I know. If you know what I mean.
Ironic. So I don't know if you knew this, but that guy from Megadeth, that Dave Mustaine fella, he was in a band before Megadeth. Did you know that?
Yeah, he was. He was in the Beatles, wasn't he?
We're gonna go
do LSD with Paul McCartney. Yes,
well, he's Rolling Stones. Anyway, so he was in. He was in the Rolling Stones.
Kevin. Yes.
My God.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did. I lost it. I was doing that. Never mind.
That's right. He was in that band there, you know, called Metallica. Now, Metallica, do you have this on your list? Probably, right, Lily?
Of course I do.
You can jump in at any time.
No, go ahead. You can get it.
No, well, we could be like a duo. We could be like Sonny and Cher.
Oh, boy. Oh, only boy. If I get to be Sonny.
I got you, babe.
I'll be sure. Yeah. But anyway, back in 1983... Metallica kicked Dave out of the band for drug and alcohol abuse. Yeah, oh, that's a shame.
Who does that?
Imagine a guy in a rock band who did drugs.
Or drank.
And got kicked out of the band for it. Nah, that's actually probably like a prerequisite. Anyway.
This is something I think there's way more to, but go ahead.
Yeah. So of course, Dave formed Megadeth shortly after that. But Dave harbored hatred toward the members of the Metallica band there for years and years and years. And the feud was actually examined in the 2004 Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster. Lars Ulrich, the drummer from Metallica, said that Dave's inability to move on was mind-blowing. But hold on, there's a little bit of happiness here. But wait, there's more. So in 2010, the musician shared the stage during a Big Four show to perform Diamond Head's I Am Evil.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. And in 2011, Dave joined Metallica for one of their 30th anniversary shows. But, you know, I just get that feeling he still harbors a little bit of animosity.
Like he's going to kill them all in their sleep.
Yeah,
or
if, he,
like
if given the chance.
I kind of feel that too.
He'd kill them all.
I think he would.
Did he have some kind of religious conversion?
He did. He did find God.
Thank God.
Like which Black, is probably why he forgave the band.
Like Blackie Lawless.
Yes.
What?
Do you know that Wasp is a Christian rock band now? They've been Christian rock for like the past 10 years.
Yeah.
I didn't get the memo.
Well, now you got it.
Now I can
it's
buy their albums.
It's so crazy because this is the
now
band.
Now I can buy their albums.
Mean. Yeah. And man, you know, these songs. This F is the like one the Beast and all that, you know.
Where they threw meat at women on the stage.
As you do. Sure.
Yeah. That's...
Not that kind of meat.
Not that kind of meat? Oh, Lord. Oh, heavens.
Oh, bless me. Anyways, yeah, that is a, is there anything you want to fill in on that, Lily?
Oh, he got all what I had.
Shut up.
And
shut
speaking
the front
of,
door.
I'm getting good at this.
Speaking of shutting up.
High five.
Oh, Lily, can you please check
giving me the hand.
And see who's on and what's going on, if anybody has any questions?
We've got Bill Thomas, It Is Always the Younger Sibling's Fault, and Michael Gold's Nothing Like Musicians Feuding, Mustaine was in Metallica. So, and we do have other watchers, but they are not talking. So
you can talk. Speak.
They're afraid of us. I don't blame them.
Are you right? I'm afraid.
That's
of
who's
us.
On the inner circle. I do not have. The
All right, guys. Cool. Awesome. If you would like to join in on the conversation, you can leave us comments. We'll check it out. And but you must go to our inner circle group. The best way to get a part of that is and to get some great music and stuff for yourself is to go to lulombardimusic.com. Also, shout out to wolfscustoms.online, custom paint jobs on musical instruments. To call that a paint job, though, is a really understatement. You have to go to the website and see what it can do. It's really, really sweet. And shout out to rockrageradio.com. Okay, who wants to? Oh, Kevin. Or Lily.
No, that's Lily's turn.
Lily.
Now it's my turn. I've got Courtney Love versus Dave Grohl.
Oh.
This was one of the
Did
more.
Did you see my thing
no,
today?
I didn't read it. Did I even get it?
No, did you see? No, when I posted the event, did you see the picture I made?
No.
oh, no, yeah, well, you didn't see it. Okay, I'm going to find it
okay.
While you're doing this, but it's related to your
okay.
topic.
This is one of the more public feuds in rock. Kurt Cobain's widow, Courtney Love, and Nirvana drummer Dave Grohl did battle in the press and on social media for about 15 years. Courtney Love, I am not shocked about. Dave Grohl, I'm a little surprised about. When Grohl guested on Howard Stern in 1999, he said his favorite Hole song was Teenage Whore because it was one he knew Love actually wrote. Whether or not he meant it that way, who knows? Hmm. He seems like rock's nice guy. Maybe he didn't mean it that way. Maybe he was actually paying her a compliment. But of course, Love was heated after this spilled over into legal battles over unreleased Nirvana music, among other things. She publicly insulted Grohl, saying he was sexually obsessed with Cobain, even suggesting that he tapped Taylor Hawkins as the drummer for Foo Fighters since he resembles Kurt. She also accused him of hitting on her. Don't believe that at all. Mm-mm. And her daughter, maybe, Frances Bean Cobain. In 2014, they got over it and hugged it out at that year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony. So now you're showing me a picture. I can totally. I think probably
Did
the
you
worst
see
thing.
That?
Okay, that's great. I can totally see why it's a problem that we have social media for someone like Courtney Love to get a hold of it, because she's totally one of those women that would use it as women would in a malicious way. Yes. So I can see that being a problem.
Oh my.
I've heard both of them on Stern, and remember Courtney Love. Somehow it came up in the conversation, and like people didn't. You just didn't think about this, but Nirvana is still a business, so they have to have business meetings with all of them.
I'm sure she's fantastic in every one of those.
Courtney Love mentioned it kind of offhand. And Howard's like, what? And she's like, Nirvana is still like a business, and you know, so we have to have these meetings. And she was like, yeah, we had Dave Grohl in here. How does that work between the two? And she really kind of went off and said
But who does Courtney Love like?
She's a freaking whack.
She likes herself.
She doesn't like herself.
I tell you what, man, I've dated people like her who were like could turn anything around into anything like very quick. Mm-hmm. They could spin a thread like a yarn. So fucking you have your head spinning. The popular term now is gaslighting.
Yeah,
I mean, she was just like, huh, and it was just. You know what I mean? It was what she was saying was so convoluted and just crazy. And you knew that's why Stern loves
having totally drama. He loves that perfect. Stuff. She feeds off that.
Yeah, she's perfect for that. But it was good stuff. But yeah, that was poor Dave Grohl. He seems like a nice guy, and he's got to put up with that.
I know, right?
You know, those calls, they've got to be crazy.
I would love to hear those. They should release those.
That should be an album.
Right?
Yeah. The next album.
They all cursed, cussing each other out and stuff like
that. It'd be a lot of beeping on regular TV. On her part.
The poor Chris just sitting there like dumbfounded, like just quiet. I don't want to get involved in this.
This guy, you know, he's been mentioned once already, but Do you want to do it?
Well, I have it, but
I'm going to do this instead. Okay, so we talked about the Gallagher brothers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about they're the Beach Boys, you know, the cousins though,
relatives,
you know what I mean? And but there is just something about brothers. Maybe they shouldn't be in bands together because the Kinks, Ray Davies and Dave Davies. There's one thing we've learned from this list so far, like I said, is rock bands with brothers. That's like a recipe for fun, right? Three brotherly bands. Another brotherly band is the Everly Brothers. I don't know if we're going to talk about them. There's actually three we could think of. But you know, also the Kings of Leon. Mm-hmm. As well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Ray and Dave Davies are another perfect example. They reportedly had a hard time getting along since early childhood, but in 1996, Ray reportedly ruined his younger brother's 50th birthday party by jumping on top of the cake to declare his own genius. Dave has publicly declared his brother an asshole and has compared him to toxic poison. They haven't performed together since the cake incident.
You know, I can sit here and imagine this going on, and I just think, wow, he just wasn't getting enough attention that day from mom. Mm-hmm. I just feel that's how that happened.
Listen, this wasn't their fifth birthday.
No.
Or the 15th birthday. It's the freaking 50th!
Well, they obviously don't know how to act.
Yeah!
You know, my sister used to date this guy, Noah, and I used to hang out with his friend, James. And whenever James wasn't getting enough attention, he would literally stand on his bar stool and wave his hands at me, and that's what that reminds me of.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And that's how I feel about that.
Mr. Cartier!
To quote Forrest Gump. And that's all I have to say about that. Brothers can't work together, obviously.
That's just crazy.
No.
That's just, you know, we did talk about Eddie and Alex, and another brother, set of brothers that were worked well together was the bass player, and I'm sorry, so we have to look it up. The bass player and the drummer for Styx.
Okay.
They were brothers.
I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I believe they may have even been twins.
I did not know that.
I didn't know
so,
that either.
Yeah, but okay. Anyway, so Lily, do you want to go ahead and talk about the Axeman himself?
Oh, you mean Axel versus the entire band?
This might be the only guy who appears twice on our list.
He could appear more than twice, even. The legendary award-winning, amazing record-selling lead singer has managed to go through 20 different musicians over the band's long existence. He has been called one of the most difficult people to work with in history of rock. As we have seen, he cannot even finish some shows because of his diva attitude. And he has such a big attitude for a little guy. Mm-hmm. There was... creative differences because with and feuds with the band members, and the stories really can go on. One of the lowest moments One of the lowest moments was in a 2009 interview where he poo-pooed on his bandmate Slash. He stated, and I quote, personally.
Oh, I thought you meant he literally.
No,
poo-pooed. He stated
he made a poopy on Slash.
Although he probably would, but we're not talking about G.G. Allin. So, personally, I consider Slash.
He hired G.G. Allin to poop on Slash.
Was G.G. alive still?
I'm sorry.
Personally, I consider Slash a cancer and better removed, avoided, and the less anyone heard of him or his supporters, the better. So not only is he insulting an amazing musician, but the musician's fans too, and ultimately probably Axl's fans as well. And not only that, we don't know if Rose had intended the stab to cut extra deep on the account of Slash's mother's recent cancer-related death, which is kind of a low blow. Regardless, the words didn't sit well with Slash. However, in 2016, the long-standing feud came to an end when Slash rejoined GNR. Also, I have included the chart of all the musicians he has wronged that you find on Wikipedia.
Wow. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. He, according to this chart, he's at the top. He can't work with himself.
No, but I mean,
he can't even work with. That's how bad it is. Can't
even
work with
all the members that have been in that he's worked with that he at one point pissed off besides himself. He might have pissed himself off.
I was wondering why you had that chart. I'm like, wow, you really get into this.
Well, I found it on the thing.
Oh, charts and
I had to see it. So he can't. He's had so much difficulty even working in his own band. And surprisingly, after what he had said about Slash, Slash went back to the whole thing. Yeah. But Slash loves playing.
It's one thing to say, something like your mother.
Or you're an asshole.
When you're on the playground and your mother's alive, where, when you have you make fun of a man's mom, dying, giving him crap about
after
that.
She dies from cancer, calling him a cancer, that's kind of, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
You're the cancer that killed your own mother. That's crazy. John and Chuck Panazzo were the bass player and drummer for Styx. They were fraternal twins.
Oh,
really?
So I just wanted to make sure that we cut that. There's probably somebody in the eye. They're twins, you moron!
Oh, and Bill Thomas actually knew.
See?
He said.
So,
Bill, put your pants on.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy.
All right, then.
Hey, Bill, you know what I heard, buddy? I heard that people are shocked when they find out you're not an electrician.
I'm not a good electrician. Sorry, Bill.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, he was so... One word would have made that joke. Not a good electrician.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But still, put your pants on.
Go to bed, Billy. Okay. That's the other... But we have so many Bills.
We have so many Bills and
Billys. It's a common name.
Okay, so... Axl and company.
And everybody.
And everyone.
Axl and
the world.
Axl versus the world!
And now that's next comic book.
Yeah, there you are. There's a comic book right there. Axl versus the world. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Floyd. What time we got here? Let me check how
Floyd.
Much.
Oh, the Floyd.
The Floyd. The Floyd. The pink Floyd.
The Floyd.
By the way, which one's pink?
Well,
but this is, of course, do we need to insult the audience's intelligence by explaining who Pink Floyd is?
If we have to explain who Pink Floyd is, they probably shouldn't be listening.
But at some point, Roger Waters announced that he was departing the band, embarking on a solo career, forming Gilmore the rest of the Gilmore Headed Band that they were barred from using the name Pink Floyd or using his inflatable pig.
This is where I think it's like children, you can't play with my toys.
You can't play my pig. It's mine. Mom bought it for me. Ma, he's been my pig.
Nice.
That's what I think of.
Nice.
The two parties obviously ended up in a legal battle, with Waters telling Rolling Stone at the time, if one of us was going to be called Pink Floyd, it's me. That's my pig.
There's more.
That's my plane crashing. The court eventually sided with Gilmore and the rest of the band, and it wasn't until 2005 that Waters performed again with Pink Floyd.
Wow.
He took a temper.
Wow. Just wow. I remember reading when there were two Pink Floyds touring. That's eventually what it came down to. So, because like Waters was like, well, okay, screw it. You know, if he's going to go on and do it, I'm going to, you know.
I've seen
it.
Both.
And, I remember reading an interview with him, and I can't remember if it was Bass Player magazine or something like that, where he was like, yeah, this was kind of depressing. You know, we'd roll into Cleveland and we're at the VFW.
Right.
And David's band is at like the Guga Dome, you know, for three nights, sold out.
And we're trying to give away free beer at the VFW.
Yeah.
But for those of you who grew up in Pittsburgh in the late 80s and early 90s, Roger Waters lived up in Cranberry.
Up in Cranberry.
He lived right there in Cranberry. So,
I see him at the Walmart.
You see him here.
Guess what he's buying?
What's he buying?
The Cranberries.
Cranberries.
Pants and that.
That's why he moved there. He thought they just grew there.
But eventually what happened was these two guys got invited on to World Cafe by David Dye.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that show?
Sure,
it's on NPR.
NPR.
And I remember I was down here in the studio and I was setting stuff up for something. And I knew this was going to happen. And I don't get good FM down here at the time. So I went and bought an FM antenna for my stereo because I did not want to miss this. Because I knew I was going to be down here setting stuff up for something. And I listened to the whole thing. It was really interesting because you didn't know what was going to happen because they hadn't spoken to each other. And that's what got them talking again and eventually got them back together. So the power of, you know, kind of like, in that case, a sort of positive thing that came out of sort of like rock journalism or music journalism, you know, very, very, very cool.
You know who David Dye should have on next?
Who?
Courtney Love and Dave Grohl. I think there should be a
Nirvana reunion with Courtney Love, Dave Grohl, and Chris Novoselic.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's literally your worst idea you've ever had.
No, I'd pay to see that.
No.
Instead of Nirvana, it should be Nirvagina.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Horvana. You're welcome.
Horvana. Oh, man.
We're going to get t-shirts that say on one side, Nirvagina, and on the back it's going to say Horvana.
And we're now sued by Courtney Love.
We should do that. We should start a whole fake like media thing that Nirvana is reuniting with Courtney Love. We should start like putting it out there and like starting out kind of rumors and stuff. That'd be hilarious.
You heard it here first.
Major announcement.
And then when Courtney Love knocks on Lou's door, to smash him in the face with a chair.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than that, what else do you have, Lily?
Do you have anything else?
I have one more.
Go for it.
Oh, I keep forgetting about Pittsburgh Kevin.
Now that I'm actually doing some research.
Well, I guess because for the first few weeks you were
I was unprepared. Easing into it. And I was not.
Well, and we only sat here and talked for half an hour before the podcast. And not one time did you say, Lou, I actually made notes tonight. Like, you didn't tell me anything.
He's got his little paper.
And it was not visible.
What's your next one?
All right, so next one is Trent Reznor and Marilyn Manson.
I almost put that one.
Oh, I'm glad. This I'm close. Glad you didn't. All right. So initially they were friends. Trent and Marilyn had a falling out because Marilyn left Reznor's Nothing record label to go to Interscope. The two fired jabs back and forth at each other for a while. But then... What? the two patched things up, and Marilyn appeared in Nine Inch Nails' Star. Now, when I read this part, it didn't actually spell anything out. So I'm going to say it probably stands for something else. Star Effers. I'm going to say it's probably something else.
Yeah, you're correct.
yes. Their Star Effers Incorporated video, and actually joined Nine Inch Nails on stage at Madison Square Garden. But to this day, Reznor still kind of send some little jabs out to Marilyn's way because of substance abuse. Of course, I'm sure that he has a couple of other things to talk about now, but but anyway.
Now that he's been in the media a bit. Stop giving him toys.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good one.
Play the fart one. That one makes me giggle.
Oh, boy.
Okay, listen.
Listen.
This was important. This is serious now.
Come on now.
Lily.
My turn.
It's Lily's turn.
Sharon Osbourne versus what? Iron Maiden.
Oh, yeah.
We all know who Sharon Osbourne is, and we know she can be a bird lady or an angry lady. those of you who don't know, she is Ozzy Osbourne's wife and manager. Iron Maiden's final performance on the 2005 Ozfest tour was a memorable one. Playing in San Bernardino, California, the band experienced multiple sound cuts and a roadie ran out waving a flag chanting Ozzy through the PA system. The band was pelted with eggs by the audience members put in place by Sharon Osbourne because she is obviously an adult. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
No, I don't have
any. She took the stage after Maiden's performance, calling Bruce Dickinson a prick for knocking the Osbournes for having a television series, among other demeaning words the singer sprouted throughout the tour. Following the event, Maiden's manager released a single statement expressing the band's collective disgust and moved on in the way that Iron Maiden would, because they aren't childish like Sharon Osbourne is and would play little juvenile tricks to retaliate for Ozzy. Sharon has always been kind of a bitch in the music world, so...
Yeah.
There it is.
We need to build a wall.
And now Sharon Osbourne is going to find me and beat the crap out of me. So
oh,
there's that.
dude, did you ever... I keep calling back the classic Stern stuff, but it's Insane Clown Posse. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to physically fight her. They wanted, it was gonna be like Axl Rose and
Vince Neil.
Yeah, they wanted to have.
Can you imagine
physical, well, you know, Stern and that they were losing their minds. That was Radio Gold. It was like that was amazing, but I mean that was like that went on and on and on. That went on for years. I don't even know if ever got resolved. I mean, because they were so cruel to Ozzy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They were saying absolute terrible stuff about, like, you know, just like making fun out of the fact that he was like brain dead and stuff like that.
Shouldn't make fun of
that's
that.
That's not even funny.
Shouldn't make fun of that.
Yeah, well, that's it's what not
Ozzy,
were doing, though.
It's not Ozzy's fault he's like that. Oh, wait.
It kind of He found a thing.
I know. I have to find a better way to get this into the recording,
yes,
but we'll get
yes.
there.
All, right.
All good ones.
Mm-hmm.
All good ones. You guys did some good work this week. I am proud of everybody here.
I'm proud of you.
Aww.
I'm proud of you.
I'm blushing.
Where's my star sticker?
Got it choked up. This is one that is like, we kind of forget about because we just have this band so romanticized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But after the death of their manager, Brian Epstein, in 67, the Beatles found themselves headed for a breakup. McCartney took over the reins, but Lennon later said he was just leading the band around in circles, and the group split in 70. John then released How Do You Sleep in 71, taking a dig at McCartney by singing, "The only thing you did was yesterday. The sound you make is muzak to my ears. How do you sleep?" Years after Lennon's death, McCartney made a sly jab at Lennon by reversing the order of their famously trademarked songwriting credit, Lennon-McCartney, on the 2002's Back in the U.S. Live album. However, McCartney has since stated that he is now content to keep the credits as they originally were on future works. So,
because now he's trying to get into heaven.
Yeah,
now he's trying to get into heaven.
And well, that did that. That sort of made them all kind of rethink things when John Lennon was killed. But these two were really like, I mean, this is what broke up the Beatles.
Here it comes.
It was those two. Just, they had just had enough of each other. I think that George Harrison and Ringo Starr would still be in the Beatles today if they could. Yeah. I think they were completely continuous to do. It was these two guys.
It's the egos, man.
Yeah, you get to. It's like, I hate to quote Spinal Tap, but it's you have two visionaries, and it gets good, but then it can turn to shit.
And it's a shame too, because Paul and John, they were kind of like the Lennon and McCartney of the Beatles. You know what I mean?
Do you have any others, Lily?
I have Aerosmith versus Steven Tyler.
Go ahead.
It's pretty remarkable for a band to maintain the same lineup for more than four decades. Aerosmith has done it, but not without some shakeups and strife over the years. Oh, boy, we have sound effects.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
In 1979, with drug use aggravating intra-band tensions, lead guitarist Joe Perry left Aerosmith, with rhythm guitarist Brad Whitford following 2 years later. Both rejoined in 1984, but by 2009, the band was unraveling again when lead singer Steven Tyler, having recently fallen off stage during a concert, hinting he was leaving the band to work on Brand Tyler. Aerosmith began auditioning replacements for Tyler, who returned to the band but then became a judge on American Idol, infuriating Perry. The band did create a new album, Music from Another Dimension, and then they gained their residency in Vegas, traveling for one-offs on the East Coast. And finally, they were doing their final gig, or they will be doing their final gig at Fenway Park in Boston in September of 2022. Maybe it is time to call it quits before any more feuds happen, or, you know, Steven falls off the damn stage again and dies. Because I missed that show because he fell off the stage a week before the show I was supposed to see. Just saying.
Probably broke a hip.
Broke something. But yeah. It's been a drug abuse, and then, you know, the egos, and...
Because they have, like, you know, that was weird. When I remember hearing about him falling off the stage and stuff, and the rumor that he was back on drugs, and it kind of, like, blows my mind, because I knew people that were, like, peripherally involved with, like, tours with them and stuff, guys that were, like, roadies and stuff, and they wouldn't have anybody in the crew. If you were caught with weed or anything, you were gone. It was like, goodbye. They did not mess around because they just could not be around it. That is how addicted those guys were.
I mean, that's how Motley Crue was for a long time.
So, like, it just kind of blows my mind that, like, he would find himself, you know. And they would have to take a hard stand on it because they took a hard stand with everybody on it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows.
But there it is.
Time for one short one.
Una mas.
And that's, which is a kind of this. And you'll, when I say time for a short one, you will understand what the joke is here.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Two rock gods have been standing beside each other on stage for about 50 years or so. During that span, they've done their share of feuding. However, in later years, it seems that Jagger and Richards had finally outgrown their differences. The Stones embarked on several financially successful and peaceful tours after regrouping in the mid-90s following various solo efforts. When Richards decided to publish an autobiography in 2010, in which he called Jagger's manhood a tiny doja.
I love it. He said it like that.
He said he's got a tiny doja. He does. Mick demanded a formal apology before he would tour with the band again, and he got one. The two are currently back on good terms. And here is your Dodger.
It's not an artful Dodger. It's a tiny Dodger.
It's a tiny Dodger. I mean, really? it is funny. And with some people, no matter how old you get or how much success you have in life, you can find yourself sometimes becoming childish, right? I think we all do.
No.
The difference is that these people are famous.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if Eric and I were, like, fucking with each other, and, you know, he said, yeah, well, it's because you got a small dick or something like that, you know, they're just, yeah. But because these
we just all laugh.
Just because these guys are famous and the egos are like,
uh-huh.
know, it turns into like, you know, it turns into media drama.
It's huge. Ethan, my Dodger's tiny.
Dodger.
I was talking about your car, wasn't I?
All right, so, all right. Okay, so check them out. Those are fun. And let's do a This Day in Music before we get the heck out of here. Wolfscustoms.online, rockrageradio.com. My website is lulambardimusic.com. Speaking of John Lennon.
Always.
This day in 1957, John Lennon and Paul McCartney met for the first time.
Whoa.
The Woolton Church Parish, where the Quarrymen were appearing. As the Quarrymen were setting up for their evening performance, McCartney, eager to impress Lennon, picked up a guitar and played 25th Rock by Eddie Cochran and Bebopalooa by Gene Vincent. Lennon was impressed, and even more so when McCartney showed Lennon and Eric Griffiths how to tune their guitars.
That's a game changer right there.
That's magical.
Oh, you're gonna like this one, Pittsburgh Kevin.
Yeah.
On this day, Jane Brown.
Oh, tell me about it.
Oh my God.
Tell me about it, Lou. I want to hear about it right now, Lou.
Come on now. You went, James.
Come on now.
You went to number two on this day in the U.S. album chart. Live at the Apollo, recorded on the night of October 24th, 1962, at Brown's own expense.
I remember that. I paid for it, Lou.
It spent 66 weeks on the album's charts. In 2003, the album was ranked number 24 in Rolling Stone magazine's list of the greatest albums of all time.
I'm gonna kiss myself.
Oh, my God. Get me out of here.
Yeah. The man, the Godfather. The Beatles are on here again.
Pink
Floyd. Oh,
they're busy. I know. The Rolling Stones are on here. More Rolling Stones. We'll get some Jimi Hendrix. Nah, you wouldn't want to hear that.
Okay.
You wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't like that.
No.
You wouldn't care.
Yeah, no. Probably not.
None of this is going to matter to anybody. So
all right.
We're just going to go home now. See ya. Happy birthday.
Yes.
To Mr. Rock Around the Clock himself, Bill Haley.
Bill Haley.
Born this day in 1925. Gene Chandler. Do you know what song Gene Chandler sang?
No.
Duke of Earl.
Check that out.
Happy birthday, 1937. Yep.
I only know that because we were supposed to perform that in the talent show.
Michael Shreve of Santana was born this day in 49.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, Nancy Griffith, who I
Griffith.
Who?
I saw. I've seen her at one of those YEP things. Very good, very good singer songwriter.
My sister Patty.
Happy birthday to the one and only 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
50 Cent. Fitty, I hope that you get many Fitty senses on your birthday today.
That's nice.
You
got Beyonce. That's a nice thought. It's a nice thought, Lou.
You know, this has been real.
Real what?
It's been nice, but it hasn't been real nice.
Oh, there you go.
guys, anyways, LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, LilyV6.com, not yet. I'm just kidding. RockRageRadio.com and WolfsCustoms.online. Lily, why don't you, speaking of Rock Rage Radio, why don't you tell folks at home about your show?
My show is Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on Rock Rage Radio. You can get the app for free or go to RockRageRadio.com. And I will be doing live videos at Gigaroo this weekend. It's a charity event, 2 days of local bands. Should be good times. So check that out. Also, I'm seeing Jackal on Sunday.
Tell him I said hi.
At Jurgles.
Jesse James Dupree.
Yup.
Jackal at Jurgles.
Sunday.
That sounds like a very nice evening out.
Oh, my God.
And get some cocktails, you know.
Probably not. It's Sunday.
Wear your best disco pants.
Oh, you know. Nice.
I don't have disco pants.
We'll fix that.
The next week's show, tune in when we'll be discussing the role of disco pants and how they revolutionized music. Yes. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. One more time, I'm going to We're just gonna play the song again until you guys get sick of it. It's the song I have out right now. You get more information about it. Get the story of the song and the lyrics by going to LouLombardiMusic.com. You guys have a great week, and we'll catch you all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
This door I'm going